We're conducting an investigation. Human trafficking. The blood sample came from a Russian prostitute.
Check this out.
I think it's the same virus.
So what's the worst case scenario?
Game over.
Hello and welcome to Real Crime Profile. This is Jim Clementi, retired FBI profiler, former New York City prosecutor and writer producer of CBS's Criminal Minds. And with me today is...
I'm Lisa Zambetti. I'm the casting director for CBS's Criminal Minds and the host of Killer Casting and the casting director for the Netflix film Us, which I'm so excited about. And it's very apropos of what we're going to talk about today because there's a character very much like one of the characters in this show. We're going to talk about that.
Okay, interesting. Yep. Well... Laura, unfortunately, can't be here today. She's actually the one that turned us on to this series and wanted us to discuss it and expose this very interesting Nordic noir series to our listeners. So here we go. It's called Arctic Circle. And do we know when it's going to be out?
So Arctic Circle, the first season aired in 2018 and you can watch it now on Topic. And you can also, if you're if you subscribe to Amazon Prime, you can also get Topic through Amazon Prime. So you can certainly do it now. And I think season two has dropped like in the last couple of days. And Topic, full disclosure, is our new sponsor, which is completely coincidental.
That's great. Yeah. Well, we were able to bring them on because we loved the series so much. We brought them on as a sponsor. And it's so cool because we had watched this series and we got an advanced copy so that we could watch it. And we loved it. And it's not what you expect from a traditional Nordic noir. It has all that, but it has so much more. We're going to try very hard not to be too spoilerish, but we want to talk about the characters and the setting and everything that's so cool. So I know you're just dying to talk about the setting.
Oh, yes. So one thing I'm going to tell people is that there's a lot of reasons why you should watch this. I mean, if you love crime shows, this is your jam. But if you are adverse to watching foreign TV shows because you don't feel like watching the subtitles or dubbing, this is your show because 75% of the dialogue is in English. And that's because it's called Arctic Circle, which is kind of the crown of, you know, the Nordic land.
The Earth,
And
the Earth.
So the Arctic Circle. So this is set in Lapland, which is a region. It's technically in Finland, but Lapland is surrounded on one side by Russia. Then it's in Finland, then Sweden, and parts of Norway go into it. So a lot of people who go to Lapland, you'd think that they'd all speak the same language, but they don't.
What's really interesting is obviously. By the way, our hearts go out to all the people in the Ukraine.
Oh, my God.
And everything that's going on there. But Russia is obviously an important topic. And this gives you some insights into the entire, part of the picture of Russia and how things are run and how things are different there. And so it's insightful that way. We have had so much now bombardment, I hate to use that term actually, of negative information about Russia. But Russia is actually made up of people.
Of people, right? Exactly.
Of people. And the people of Russia, and there's law enforcement people in Russia, and there's people that want justice in Russia. And I think that's important to keep in mind. And I think show helps because not looking at Russia as sort of an evil monster, I think is something we should do because if we keep in mind that there are people there and they have their own lives and wants and desires and careers and motivations, and they're victims of crimes too. And so that is what the setup is for this series.
Right. So we're going to talk about kind of the premise of the series. But before, as you hinted, Jim, one of the things I got obsessed with the series is the knitwear. the sweaters in this show. You got your cable knit, you got your Donegal, your fisherman, your Fair Isle, your crew neck, your V-neck, your cardigan, your pullover, your half zip. Man, this knitwear is okay. On point.
I have to admit, I mean, I am a former FBI profiler. I still do this kind of work. And I didn't once notice a sweater, okay, in this whole series. So it's so good that you pointed that out. But that's why in the profiling unit, we always had people with different backgrounds, because you will pick out something that I will never see. One guy saw a Lotto soccer shoe and said, that thing's like $250. That's an expensive shoe. Whoever did this, whoever lost that show, he plays soccer. And they're very popular in Central and South America.
Wow.
Both. I mean, that was his first profiling session. And he hit on two incredibly important things that help identify an offender who some victims described as white and some victims described as black. Well, he happened to be a dark-skinned Central or South American guy. Mm-hmm. And that's why his features looked more white. Mm-hmm. But his skin tone was darker. And so people confused what his race was. That one sneaker changed everything in the profile, and it helped us solve that case.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Well, there you go. I should join the BAU. Is that what you're saying?
You should. That's what I'm saying. You're a profiler now. Yay. But seriously, this series, and I just want to say from the beginning, when, I mean, you're set in the cold Arctic
North. Oh my God.
And I have to say, I am cold when I watch that. I shiver when I have to wrap myself in a blanket or a jacket when I watch that, because cold is not kind to me. I experience cold as pain. Yeah. And that is a difficult thing. So I could not imagine having a profession and living all the time in that weather. And then, how many months of the year are you basically in dark?
Right. I mean,
it's unbelievable. But you then form a sort of respect for the people who are tough enough to do that and who are there trying to help people. So it was kind of cool that way.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Well, see, I am a cold. I love the cold. Well, like, the beauty of the landscape for me was like my nirvana. I mean, I loved it. But yeah, Jim, like you say, this is the other thing that people will like about this show is you're immersed into a culture that you just have no concept of what it's like to go to work in the morning. There's a scene, and this is not a spoiler, where a mom, she's just taking her kids to school, right? Now, when I take my kids to school, I just throw them in the back of a RAV4.
Not throw them literally. Not literally.
No. Yet. You know what I'm saying? I put them very carefully into their car seats. Yeah. But this mom, she gets a sleigh. This is her daily thing. She shoves her kids in a sleigh and throws a bunch of fox skins over them and hooks it to her snowmobile and takes them to school. And it's like, honey, taking the kids to school. Bye. You know,
see ya. I mean, hopefully another blizzard doesn't happen while we're gone.
So seeing that, just seeing
and
the
hopefully
cops,
a polar bear doesn't come by.
Exactly. And seeing the cops have their little school. What are they, snowmobile? I don't know what they're.
They have snowmobiles. No, they had snowmobiles.
It's just like,
yeah. And, like and you're, like, you're, you have to go check on a call. You might have to get on a snowmobile and ride 70 miles in complete and utter white wasteland and cross lakes and rivers that you could fall into. And then you get to whatever that call was about.
Yeah,
it's not like the calls are what you risk your life. It's trying to even get there. So that was cool. That was an interesting insight. So, and then when the title sequence comes up and It is almost like they're showing these frozen tundras and like these frozen barren trees. And then it's kind of animation where it kind of creeps out and grows. But then sometimes it turns red, like
crimson
blood
red,
and,
like blood. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's just really beautiful. It's really, I remember in the series Love Fraud, the title sequence and the interstitials, the breaks between scenes. It was so well animated and just beautiful. And it would be like a beautiful scene, let's say of a wedding. And then all of a sudden it would rot and fall away. And I got the same feeling here because that coldness was already inside my bones. And then to see these things like grow out of it and then you know, webs knitting together and then turning crimson red like blood. That to me was very well done. It puts you in the right mood for this, because this story, this series is going to take you in directions you will never expect. It is going to do things to your brain, because there are so many different twists and turns. And it, I tell you, in the end, every single little detail is important to what the final conclusion was. Things, little Easter eggs all over the place that you don't get to get the answers until the end of the second season. They set it up so well, and there's so many things happening. Yeah, there are some things that resolve themselves in the first season, but the ultimate questions hang until the end of the second season. And I was so happy that I got to see them all together, because I'm done with just like waiting every week for appointment television.
I know. Oh, I can't take it.
Because I love, you know, when I have 3 hours to invest in the show, I love to be able to see like all 3 hours of it. That'll be great. So anyway, it's fun to see the little seeds that were planted in the beginning and then hang on to them and see them sprout a little bit here and sprout a little bit there. And then as the different revelations happen, as you get deeper and deeper into this, you're like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that.
So you've seen the second season. I've only seen the first season. Now, look, I got to be honest. There are parts of the first season that I could have done without. There are branches of this plot tree that I could have excised quite easily. And we'll talk about that, because I'm not so much a story driven person. Maybe you are. I'm a character driven person. Like for me, like Joseph Campbell, there's only like 5 stories in the whole world. You know, everything is based on the same 5 stories, but there are just an infinite number of people. And so for me, the characters, just hanging out with these characters for me, and I know this would drive other people crazy, that's kind of, I mean, maybe that's why I like the Nordic style, because you do tend to just hang out with people.
Well, and but these people that you're hanging out with are doing extraordinary things. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. And I get it. And I think I know what part of the first season that you're talking about. There are several storylines that are weaved together. And I think just because of the nature of how this series was made, 2018 and 2022, right? That certain practicalities dictated where the story was going to go for part of it, for some of that part. And I think, yeah, you might have been able to do without if you didn't have a favorite or one part of it wasn't your favorite. But I think there's the basic crime element. And I think we can talk about it.
Because, let's talk about the premise. Yeah. Just like the first scene, like what is the premise? What kicks off this world?
Well, you're definitely talking about human trafficking and sex trafficking. That's the foundation of this series. And there are some threads that go off in different directions about that. And sure, you can make choices. I'd rather spend more time with this thread than that thread. But I think it was important to flesh it out. I think it's an important thing, because reality in law enforcement is you never have the privilege or the luck to just work on one thing. You're always being pulled into several directions. So I didn't have a problem with it. And like harking back to what we said earlier, the victims of this sex trafficking turn out to be from Russia. And so what does that do? It throws people from Finland and Russia into the same task force investigation.
Let's just back up just 1 second, Jim, so we can set the tone. So there are these two Lapland. So this is in Lapland, as we mentioned. These two Lapland cops, you know, just going out for a very normal call. There's a cabin. They suspect that maybe somebody's poaching. Something's going on in this cabin. There's a dog barking. They just go for, what do you call that? Like a wellness check or whatever.
Yeah.
They go for a wellness check. They go to this skanky ass cabin and they find this woman. Now, a lot of the synopsis, Jim, of Arctic Circle always identify this part of the story. They find a prostitute. No, they find a young woman half dead, half closed, crammed into a like a little chamber in a basement. Right. That's what they find. That's all we know. And they pull her out. They rush her to the hospital and they try to save her life. And of course, through that, they take blood tests and all this stuff. And then they come to try to identify her.
Right. And so all of a sudden labeling this person as a prostitute was 100% wrong. That's just not true. That's not who they found. That's not what they found. What they found was a person who was obviously in captivity and she was near death. And had they not been there in, you know, the nick of time, she would have been dead. There's no question about it. But she's incapacitated. And that's a problem for the investigation, which all of our armchair detectives out there, that your ears should perk up, because how are you going to find out who she is? How do you find out where she's from? You know nothing about her.
Who did this to her? Yeah. Where? Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so what's going to happen is sort of concentric circles from that location are going to get searched and things are going to be found. And it opens up this whole wild world of crime. And at the same time, the reason why this young woman was violently ill turns out to be another mystery that unfolds. Right. Something else that's going on at the same time. And so that's an overlay over this investigation that they don't even know about yet. It's going to come later on. And so that whole thing sets a lot of things in motion.
Right, right.
And that's where you get really deeply into the relationships. So and the relationships are incredibly important in this.
So I just want to
pay attention.
Yeah, yeah. So the first, so the cop, the Laplandy cop, who, you know, one of the cops who finds this young woman is a cop. Let's just call her Officer Nina.
Okay.
And she's Finnish. She's super smart. She's probably smart enough to not just be a small village cop, maybe. And she finds
totally believable though.
Totally believable.
She's beautiful, but she's beautiful in a very natural way, where it doesn't look like, oh, they picked a model to play this role of a cop. She's totally believable in the moment, in this very harsh environment, and as a strong professional woman who uses her brain every minute of the day.
And yet she's still warm. Like, she's not so jaded. She's very empathetic to this young girl. She wants to find out what the fuck is going on.
And you know what? We actually find out one reason why, because we meet her family and her daughter is a special needs kid, and just the way she is with her and how wonderful that relationship is. It just really adds a layer to this that I've never seen before, that particular layer in any cop show.
The role of her daughter, the name of the character is Venla, and Venla is the name of the real little child actress who plays Venla. And she's, I think when they shot this, she was 6 years old. Now, what we should say is Venla, when you see her, you know that there is something different about her. She has alopecia universalis. I wasn't sure if maybe she was in chemo or radiation or if she had Down syndrome. I wasn't sure. And they never explain it. And I love that. They never refer to it for episodes and episodes and episodes. She's the daughter and she is an incredible actress. She's very vulnerable looking because of her appearance. She looks kind of like she might be very frail, but she is so full of love and cheekiness, and she is an incredible actress. This is the inclusion and the diversity, if we're going to talk about diversity, that we need, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
She's incredible.
She was great. I had no idea that it was her own name. That's so cool. And I love the relationships that she has with her mother and her grandmother. And she also has kind of a cool relationship with one of her friends. And it might go a little haywire at some point. I will never say. But then we'll talk about what happens in season two in another episode.
Oh, okay, good. Don't spoil for me. Yeah,
I won't. But what I'm saying is there are so many poignant points that are made, not only during the investigation and Nina's interaction with the victims, but in her interactions with her mother and in her interactions with her daughter, in her interactions with her ex, and her non-interactions with her father. And that is something, all of those things are exquisitely tied together in the end. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. I was so happy. Like, you know how sometimes, let's say you watched a show called Lost, right? And and throughout the first season, things happen. Black mists will appear, polar bears in a tropical island, all these things. And you just want to watch it and watch it and watch it because you want to see how the hell are they going to tie all these things together? And they don't. They never did. And that is a disappointment. This series is not like that at all. This series expertly, and I said exquisitely, ties those things together in a way that's like, holy F.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Okay. It's really cool. It's really cool.
So Officer Nina, she's found this young girl. So they do tests on this young girl. I don't think it's any spoiler because otherwise we can't introduce
don't say
this next.
The nature of it, but you
all
can
right.
Say
so there's something in this young woman's, this victim's blood that causes everybody to go, oh fuck. So they have this virologist from Helsinki. Now he's German. Let's call him Dr. Thomas. Okay. I think his name is Thomas Lenz. All right. I had a real problem with this guy.
Oh, really?
But I got to like him, but I don't explain why. Anyway, so Dr. Thomas sees the blood of the victim. He's like, oh my God, this is very bad. This is very serious. And so he's conscripted by some of the Finnish intelligence officers. Let me tell you, Jim, the casting of these intelligence officers, folks, there are so many unbelievable faces in this series. Some of these faces could cut glass. Their cheekbones are so sharp. I mean, their faces are very, very indelible. And that's my total jam. I mean, I love that.
Because they're very real. They're very real. They're very ethnic. And their personalities are all very different.
Right. Dr. Thomas is Mr. Dudley Do-Right. He's Mr. Puppy Dog. He speaks mostly in English, even though he's German, living in Helsinki. Something about him, Jim, I felt like this actor, and no shame on this actor, he's a fine actor. Sometimes when actors act in English, which is not their first language, they've only heard like SVU, Law and Order, Criminal Minds, and they're kind of like trying to emulate that a little bit. He was very like, let's get out of here and we got to go. And he was just very melodramatic for my taste.
All right. I thought that was just part of his character, but I will say he ends up conducting his own investigation. Mm-hmm. And it's an investigation that initially appears completely separate and apart and unrelated to the criminal investigation that Nina was on. Mm-hmm. And guess what? She gets forced off the criminal investigation and onto the medical investigation. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what? She's upset. She feels like she's got a babysitting job and she's very upset, but she's a great investigator. And as she starts digging in, she might find some clues that nobody expected.
Right.
And those clues might tie some things together that, well, were completely unprepared for.
Right, right. So yeah, as Jim says, there are two tracks to this series. You know, one is trying to figure out the medical aspect of it, and one is trying to find the killer of, you know, we start to find multiple victims. And it looks like, I think we can say this, that there is like a ring of people who are prostituting out these Russian girls, and they're called party buses, and these buses kind of drive all around Lapland and, you know, in the hinterland, and they are basically traveling brothels.
Yes, mobile, you know, brothels.
Mobile brothels, and some things are happening to these girls. So it's, you know, a two-pronged plot to try to find out, you know, the medical mystery and then also the murder mystery and try to figure out who is doing all this. And boy, do they introduce a whole lot of mysterious men. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's another mysterious guy. So
yeah, there's
all those the unschmucks, remember, Jim?
Yes, unschmucks. And that's from Criminal Minds, because we had the unsubs, which are the unknown subjects. And then you had guys that were sort of misleads or branch criminals, mm-hmm. or people that we really thought was the unsub, but they weren't. And we called them the unschmuck. But in this series, that trail that they went off on, introducing these mysterious characters. And I actually like that they're just dipping their toe in a little bit here and a little bit there, because then it forces me to try to figure it out in advance. Yeah, yeah. And I have to say, some of the things that they did, I was able to figure it out. I actually am an FBI profiler, but some of the things were completely unexpected. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that that Mr. A would end up being connected to Mr. G and Miss Z, you know, and so there were things that I was surprised, and that's good. I like to be surprised. Yeah. Though. Mentioned Nina's relationship with her mother as well, and that's a complicated thing. It's cool because it's not just everything's cool, but there's things playing below the surface, and there's revelations being made along the way that will all become important later down the line, and that's great. That's a very good aspect of this series.
So Nina also has a relation we haven't talked about yet with her sister, her younger sister. I found this character really fascinating. Her younger sister is this hard partying. Actually, she's a recovered addict, but she's still kind of partying. She's still kind of, her life is sort of all over the place. And she's kind of been estranged from Nina and her mother and everything. And through circumstances of the plot, they get thrown together again. And that is real. Those were very moving scenes for me to see how they deal with each other, that they have to be put together in certain circumstances, and how much little Venla just loves her auntie. And she's totally oblivious to all of the tension that's going on. Right. And I just really love that. And I also thought it was really funny. Well, we can't, without spoiling it, I can't really say this part, but there was a scene, we can cut this, but where her sister is being questioned by the doctor and is being asked some really intimate questions about her sex life and stuff like that. And it just made me think, Jim, that happens all the time. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've just, been in a doctor's appointment and they'll just ask you these questions, like even in front of like other people, like my right. mother-in-law. And it's like, I don't want to answer this. Right. You're making me feel very uncomfortable and very judged. And she does. I mean, this character feels like, whoa, wait, why am I being interrogated for
exactly the why? She was never told why. She was never like actually given the dignity and respect of information. And that's a mistake.
Yeah.
That should not have happened.
Yeah.
And so, but they learn from this and things go on. The season ends with a very interesting set of circumstances that Nina's ex finds himself in. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. And it's just a WTF ! Like, wait, what? What is he? Who is he? What is he doing? What's going on? And that gives you some insight into why Nina was having so much trouble with him over the course of the previous five episodes. So that's one way that they tied some things up where you say, oh, I get it now. There's a fucking thing there.
So we highly recommend that you watch this show. I guarantee you, you will have so many happy moments of watching this. And some moments you're like, I get done without that.
There are pretty powerful moments. Then there are some great investigative beats and there are great twists and turns. And the cinematography is amazing. Yeah. And some of the overhead shots and the tundra shots. And then just the intimacy of the... Like, and I swear, like when I see these people out in the snow and they're just wearing, a little jacket or whatever. And I'm like, how are you alive? How are you not a popsicle? But that, that they're in the scenery and it's beautiful and it's beautifully shot. And I will say it holds up. it holds up in the end. Yeah. Investigatively, I'm really happy with how the whole thing comes.
Well, the other thing I was thinking of, like, you know, if you're a normal cop and you're like walking towards the front door of something and you're investigating and peeking in windows, imagine that, but in the snow.
Like two
it's
and a half
so
feet
exhausting.
Of snow.
Right. It's so just to lift your leg to walk towards it.
I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You have to be very dedicated to be a professional law enforcement officer in a tundra.
Yeah.
A snow tundra. That's what it is. And, you know, and just some of the things that they have to worry about and, you know, and some of the clear risks that they take to be good people. It's pretty amazing. So, absolutely. We're giving this a thumbs up. And Laura did too. And again, we're sorry that she couldn't be here today, but she will be back shortly and we will continue our coverage of Arctic Circle.
Right. So stay tuned. We're going to be covering Arctic Circle season 2 next time on Real Crime Profile.
Till then, this is Real Crime Profile signing off.
If you like deeper analysis like this episode on topics like Making a Murderer, Mindhunter, Escape at Dannemora,
the case of Sally Challen, the teacher's pet, Lynette Dawson, the exonerated five in When They See Us, and the disappearance of Madeleine McCann, you can listen to RCP on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. And please be sure, if you like what we do, to give us a 5-star review.
Thank you for listening to Real Crime Profile.
Real Crime Profile is produced and edited by Paul Francis Sullivan. Sound engineering by Mike Thal. Music is composed by Simba Tsumba. Logo art by Jim Clementi. Real Crime Profile is produced by XG Productions and distributed by Wondery.
For advice and support if you're experiencing stalking in the UK, you can contact Paladin National Stalking Advocacy Service on 0203 866 4107. Or you can go to the website where there's a lot of information and advice that you can follow on www.paladinservice.co.uk. If you're experiencing domestic abuse, you can call the National Domestic Violence Helpline for free on 0800 2000 247. In the US, if you're experiencing domestic abuse and need advice, shelter or counselling, you can call Genesis, the 24-hour hotline, on 214 946 4357. You can also go to their website for further advice or support, www.genesisshelter.org. And there's the domestic violence hotline on 800 799 7233.